You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. Good Thursday as well. We've got Group 3 action at Salisbury and Leopardstown. We've also got Beverley and Lingfield throughout the afternoon. We've got Yarmouth and Chepstow in the evening and a mixed card in Tremora as well. So plenty to get stuck into. It's all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. You can join Stephen Powell, Andrew Mount and Gareth Topham for that. Right now, my name is Mark Walton. Joined in the studio by Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Ah, very well indeed, Mark. Very well indeed. And, well, I'm just getting a little bit, like, feet getting a bit itchy and a bit twitchy, you know what I mean?
Why is that?
Well, ready for the big week at York next week.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Great stuff at York next week.
Whoa, fantastic stuff. Fantastic.
Fabulous 4 days for the Ebor Festival. We're actually going to have a look and a little chat about the Judmont International, the feature race on day one in just a few moments' time. But a bit of news, Pimmy, just to bring to the podcast first of all. And that's that we won't, well, it's unlikely that we'll see champion hurdle hero Espoir Delaine this season. He's been injured in a freak accident at home. And he's very lame and sore is the description, and sadly it looks like we're not going to see him this year.
Yeah, very, very disappointing, and it just shows how fragile and how easily these accidents can happen. Seeing me, he was just coming back down from the gallop after having a routine canter, got spooked and came over and has injured his shoulder. He's obviously with the top vets at Feathered, and again we'll just have to sit and wait and see what it is. With it being a shoulder, it might just be a muscular thing. It might be something that's not quite as difficult to get over, sort of thing. It's not like he's on a tendon or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I would be slightly more hopeful that it's something more muscular than anything else, and that it would be a possibility that he'll get over it a little bit quicker. But having been in the best hands, so to speak, and he's not really making any progress, that would be a slight concern.
Yeah, at the moment, apparently they're struggling to pin down what the actual cause of the pain is,
yeah.
which is a little bit of a concern. Hopefully when they do find out, it won't be anything majorly serious and he'll just need a bit of rest and he'll be hopefully backfiring next year. But
in a situation like that, you'd rather say, actually, that's the problem.
Yeah.
There we go, that's what's happened there. And we can then treat it and we can go forward with it. When it's a little bit like that and you're in the dark, you're in no man's land, you know, and you're actually worse off in that situation, really.
Obviously, you've got a lot of horses. You've had a lot of, you know, you take care of a lot of horses. In that situation, you just mentioned the mystery around it, or you're in the dark a little bit. But is it also a little bit better that you know it's not, you know, if it was something serious, it would show up straight away, wouldn't it, perhaps? It'd be like,
yeah.
Oh, we know it's a tendon or whatever. But the fact that it's not quite that obvious, could that be a blessing in disguise?
It's a difficult one, that one, because you're right. If it's something that you can pinpoint, so you get the scanner on it, you get the X-ray on it, the vet can say, actually, that's your problem there. It's got a little chip in that bone. It's, you know, got a little hole in that tendon, whatever. Something like that, you're actually in the dark more. With something that they can pinpoint, you can say, right, that's what we've got. This is how we treat it. This is how long the process is going to take. With something like that, it might take a week. It might take a year. You just very much harder, I think, not to be able to pinpoint it.
Okay. Well, we do wish Connections and Espoir Delaine all the best. Hopefully we will see him back in action at some point in the future. Let's turn our attention to racing coming up, though, Pimmy, because you mentioned the Ebor Festival is just a week away as we record this.
Yeah.
Spectacular meeting at York, that 4 days is just brilliant. And the Judmont International is always a very, very good race. £1 million prize on offer in that. It's the 335 on the Wednesday And if these runners turn up, Pimmy, that we've got in the decks at the moment, it's going to be spectacular, because Crystal Ocean is the favourite at the moment at 11-8. 3-1 King of Comedy, Magical 5-1, 7-1 for Japan, 8-1 Circus Maximus. They're talking about supplementing Ella Cam. He's a 10-1 chance in the market at the moment as well. 16s Lord Glitters, 20s for Anthony Van Dyke and Magna Grisha, along with a Dabe and Pink Dogwood. In fact, I'll host them at 20s here. Cheval Grand, Regal Reality, and Phoenix of Spain, and 33s are bigger for the others. A whole host of Group 1 winners in there, Pimmy. Top, top class horses. Mm. No surprise to see Crystal Ocean at the top of the market, mind. His battle with Enable last time and his form prior to that has been superb this season. Yeah. Is it his to lose if he turns up?
Well, I think he deserves to get a big prize under his belt, doesn't he? And that race with Enable, you know, to have a wonderful horse race, you've got to have two wonderful horses. And he served it up to her, didn't he, you know? And he warrants a big race success like this. So I'm sure he's going to be a major player. The market suggests he's the one to beat. But again, there's going to be some far power in there. The only thing I would say is keep your eye on the weather, because the forecast is a little bit topsy-turvy.
Yeah.
A little bit unsettled. And although the Knavesmire is so well drained now, it doesn't usually get quite as boggy as it did many moons ago. It still might be a watching brief on that weather forecast for it.
It's looking like Ella Cam's going to be entered into the race. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he was a star two-year-old, bit of a quiet three-year-old campaign. He's started to take his form back to the top level this season. Can he mix it at Group 1 level in a race as hot as this now?
Well, certainly, we wouldn't be questioning Mark Johnson's integrity, having to pay the £75,000 supplement to put him in there. You know, Johnson's absolutely flying at the moment. And again, for them to think that he is worthy of that big fee to supplement him, I think is a tip in itself, really. And I think he said he was a 10-1 shot there, was he? So if you're looking for a little bit of value, that might be the way forward.
Obviously, Aidan O'Brien's going to play a big hand here, as well, he always does in these big races. He's got several in there at the moment, which makes it a little bit tricky. He's got the filly in there, Magical. She's a 5-1 chance. Japan, who's arguably now his best three-year-old, 7-1 in the betting. Circus Maximus is 8-1. And the reason I want to talk about Circus Maximus, if he does turn up in the race, he's 8-1, and he beat King of Comedy at Ascot in the St James's Palace Stakes, followed that with a good second behind Two Down Hot in the Sussex. If he's 8-1 and King of Comedy's 3-1, are they the wrong way around?
You'd think we got that wrong, wouldn't you? Mm. You know what I mean?
I suppose it's just the element that you don't know if he's.
Well, I think that's the thing, is they're more likely pricing him up with the view that he's not going to turn up. You know, I think Japan will be the runner for O'Brien, to be fair.
Yeah, it looks that way, doesn't it, with the news? So, yeah, that's obviously the risk of anti-post betting. But if he is in there, I dare say he won't be 8-1 on the day.
Yeah, I dare say that. But I think that's why they've priced him up at 8-1, because he's more than likely looking like he's not going to make it to the Knavesmire.
If you were to have a pick now, what would you go with at this point?
For my heart, I'd want Crystal Ocean. Mm-hmm. With my head, I'd have a little bit each way on the Mark Johnson Eloquam.
Okay. A couple then to consider from Pimmy there. Crystal Ocean, 11-8. Ella Cam is 10-1 at the moment, but do bear in mind as well, he does still need to be supplemented. It's looking likely, but it's not guaranteed as yet. We'll move on from that, because that's next Wednesday. We've got action coming up this Thursday to concentrate on as well, Pimmy. We've got some good racing here and about on Thursday. We've got a Group 3 at Salisbury, we've got a Group 3 at Leopardstown, and we're going to have a look at one of the more open handicaps on the day as well, because we're paying extra places there. But we'll start in the 350 at Salisbury, the Sovereign Stakes, a Group 3 for Colts and Geldings. It's over a mile, and Accidental Agent, Pimmy, I suppose, will be up there towards the top of the market. He's a horse that's been running in Group 1s for much of the time. He was a Group 1 winner at Royal Ascot last season, of course. Hasn't won since that victory, and has had a little bit of in and out form, really. He landed the Queen Anne Stakes and was a bit of a surprise winner that day at 33-1. Refused to race in the Queen Anne in this year's renewal. But this is much easier than he's been running in of late. Does that mean he's going to bounce back, do you think, or what are your thoughts on him?
I think he's a bit like you.
What's that?
Dodgy. Dodgy, buddy.
You were going to say a wonderful performer.
Goodness gracious me. No, he's definitely got his own ideas. He's still entire. And although his official rating 115 more than likely is way off the mark now, this is far easier than he has done. But you've got to take on trust that he's going to perform to his full ability, and I wouldn't like to be taking that chance, to be perfectly honest. I mean, we love Eve Johnson as a trainer, but if again, for me, I'd be body swerving the agent tomorrow. I thought Magito's interesting. He was backed as if defeat was out of question at Glorious Goodwood last week. And I didn't think things really went to plan for him. He was a little bit keen, a little bit free, just doing a little bit too much for most of that race. And he more than likely, if settles better, could be an awful lot better than he showed on that occasion. And that was a very competitive handicap. So he's certainly got to be a player tomorrow, Magito, despite him getting beaten, having been, as I say, substantially gambled on at Goodwood last time out. The very bottom horse is interesting. That's the Mark Johnson runner in the shape of Marie's Diamond. Consistent, very, very much on the upward curve. Again, got to improve significantly tomorrow to take a hand, but you would not dismiss that out of hand with it being Mark Johnson's and the horses are in such great form. But I've got my forgiving head on in this race, and I'm going to take a chance with Kick On, who disappointed last time out in the Hampton Court Stakes at Royal Ascot. And again, for whatever reason, he just didn't fire. But prior to that, his form's pretty solid. Again, on his best form, he's definitely a player in this company tomorrow afternoon. So we've got to forgive him that running at Royal Ascot. Hope that he bounces back. Again, with no finer man than John Gosden. And Oisin Murphy, again, for me, flying high. He's put that blooming Jockeys Championship to bed now, hasn't he? Mm. 10 clear of Danny Tudhope.
Yeah.
And he just continues to ride plenty of winners. So I'm going to take a chance with Kick On tomorrow, and hopefully he'll reward us with a reasonable price.
Kick On, then, the selection for Pimmy in the 350 at Salisbury. That's the Sovereign Stakes, Group 3 to look forward to there on the afternoon. We've got evening action at Leopardstown, where there is a Group 3 there. We'll move on to that in a moment, but just want to take in this 6.40 at Chepstow first, Pimmy. A wide open handicap, 0-52, six furlongs in front of them. The reason I've included this, or we've included this, is because here at William Hill we're paying extra places. You've got five places to aim at, so as an each-way punter, you've got a bit of extra leeway in this contest, and let's be honest, you're probably going to need it. It's difficult, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, you've really found there's a conundrum here, but yeah, I tell you. But anyway, happy birthday to Mrs. Irene Lux, 85.
Yeah.
That race is celebrating her birthday tomorrow, so well done to her. She's had a cracking innings, and again, if she's found the winner of this, then she's also blessed with a crystal ball. I thought Rebecca was interesting for the Clive Cox Yard. Daughter of Camacho is having her debut run in a handicap. She could have a little bit more to offer there. I thought Twilighting was interesting, who ran plenty well enough when 4th of 8 in the handicap debut at Chelmsford last time out. Reverts to the turf again tomorrow afternoon from a yard that we really do get on with, that the shape in the Henry Candy yard. So I thought that was certainly a player. And again, another one that's more than likely named after you, big fella. Number 16, what a dazzler. Goodness gracious me. Makes its handicap debut tomorrow. And again, if you want something that is going to be massive price and as a coincidence bet, then that could be the one for you. But my two against the field, Rebecca and Twilighting.
A couple against the field for Pimmy there then, and why not with five places on offer each way, and that will apply as long as there are 16 or more runners, and there are currently 17 in there, so hopefully that will stand up. And the final race we look at is the 7 o'clock at Leopardstown. This is the Desmond Stakes, a Group 3 of 1 mile. We've got a field of seven set to go to post for this one, Pimmy, and we probably should start with Mad Moon. Kevin Prendergast's Prendergast runner is probably going to be towards the top. Well, will be at the top in the market, I imagine. Was fourth in the Irish Derby last time, was second in the Epsom Derby before that. Wasn't beaten far in the 2,000 guineas. As far as they're concerned, this is far, far easier.
Oh, yeah. I mean, on official ratings, he's head and shoulders above these, and he should get the job done with no problems tomorrow. He ran a great race in the Epsom Derby. Things didn't pan out for him at the Curragh when he ran in the Irish Derby. Again, if you watch that back, he had a heck of a mountain to climb on that occasion.
Yeah.
So, all things being equal tomorrow evening, this should be a walk in the park for him. It should be a confidence booster, having gone to post four occasions this season without getting his head in front. And I think he's the one that they've all got to beat. And as you quite rightly say, the market will reflect that, because he is the best horse in the race. Didn't really think there was an awful lot of strength in depth. And, well, the only one I could tip is the horse that was named after me.
Is that number three on the race card?
You've got it, buddy, yeah. Yeah, he's a useful colt, and I think he could run well at one of the bigger prices.
That's I Am Superman, by the way. Pimmy thinks a lot of himself there. But...
Well, and why wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Or some might say, I'm number one.
Yeah, yeah, ancient spirit.
Correct. Yes, yes, that might be more like it, mightn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other one is the number seven as well. That's what they could be saying here at William Hill shortly.
I remember you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're unceremoniously shown the door for one of your outbursts.
For the old tink-tack. You know, yeah. The old heave-ho. Yeah. On you go, Pimmers.
Well, yeah. So, well, number two is something you do before you come on air as well, isn't it? You give the pin a check.
I do indeed, indeed. Yeah. Yeah, most certainly. The old pin is very, very sharp at the minute, I believe.
So Mad Moon, the most likely winner, if you're looking for one to take him on I Am Superman.
Correct.
Yeah. Good. Well, thank you very much, Pimmy. It's been a pleasure. Best of luck and enjoy the action on Thursday.
I can't wait for that 6:40 at Chepstow. Bring it on.
Yeah. It's a belter, that.
It's a cracker.
That's Chris Pimlott giving us his thoughts on Thursday's racing. Then you can hear it all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. Stephen Powell, Andrew Mount and Gareth Topham in the studio. Good Day Racing, Salisbury, Beverley and Lingfield in the afternoon. Yarmouth, Chepstow, Leopardstown and Tramore throughout the course of the evening. So that's all weather racing, bit of jumping, bit of good flat racing, including group races as well. Do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.